Good morning. It's so good to be together on this Lord's Day morning and to be able to just build each other up and worship our God together. What happened to summer? Did that just go away? Every August, whenever Epic finishes, it's like, okay, I guess that's the end of summer. And every August, there's some other rituals that we kind of do. Every August, used to be September, you go to Walmart or you go on Amazon or to Target and you start checking off the school items that your teacher or your kid's teacher has given you to start, you know, putting together. You get the notebooks, you get the, used to be a Trapper Keeper, now maybe a Chromebook, the composition journals, the highlighters, the rulers, whatever it is that you need. And you put it all together, and there's something really comforting about having a checklist that's all checked off. It's like the preparation is done. Somebody has thought through what you need, and now you're ready. And feels good to be ready. And if you see somebody that, you know, maybe a kid that doesn't have the stuff they're supposed to have, you think, okay, somebody didn't get them ready. Because it doesn't just automatically happen that you're ready. You have to get prepared. And, you know, there are more important and fundamental things to prepare with whenever you're going back to school. You can buy every school supply and still not be ready because you can't order courage or faith on Amazon. You can't go to the back-to-school aisle at Walmart and make sure that you have kindness and prayer and strength to face what comes next. And all of us have had our own back-to-school experiences. My experience was with public school, and so that's what I'm thinking about a lot as I'm preparing. But my own kids are homeschooled, and there are preparations that need to happen with that. And some of you go to co-ops, and some of you go to college, and some of you are teachers about ready to go back. And before you think, oh, this is just for the young people and the students, this actually is a lesson about being ready for life. And you yourself, whoever you are, wherever you go, whether you're packing a backpack or you're packing a diaper bag or a briefcase or a tool belt, you need to be ready for what you face in the day. On Monday, the things that we talk about here are not just for Sunday school. They're for Monday school and Tuesday school and everyday school and school. And they're for work and they're for soccer practice and lunchrooms and they're for the issues that we face every day. It's rough out there sometimes because we feel pushed by the values of a world that doesn't know the Lord. And there's lots of good people out there. There's lots of good people at school. There's lots of good people at work. But we're also going to face some difficulties, and we want to be ready. So I preached a lesson like this about 6 years ago, and I passed out a little bookmark with a checklist. And I have another one today that Kevin is going to pass out afterwards to any kids or anybody else that wants one. If we need more, I can go make some more. But I brought this up with one of our young people who was going into high school for the first time whenever I preached this. And he said, man, I pulled that out every day and I went through it. So I don't know if your mileage may vary. I don't know if you'll use this way, but I hope this helps you get ready in the things that matter most, our relationship with the Lord. We're going to go through a little checklist. This is your checklist. This is about your stuff. And the first item on this checklist is your mindset. You need to get set, get ready, put your, not just your clothes on, which is the first thing you do when you're going back to school. You think about, okay, I need back to school clothes. When I was little, we usually, that was the one time we got new clothes, was at back to school time. And we would, you know, get a couple pairs of pants and a couple shirts. You wanted to look good. You knew you were walking in and people would have a first impression based on what you looked like. Well, the Bible uses that same terminology of clothing to describe how we put on Christ. In Galatians 3:27, it talks about being, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In Colossians 3, there's this imagery of taking off old garments and its attitudes, anger and passions that are sinful and all of these bad attitudes and mindsets, and putting on a mindset that seeks what's above, putting on compassion and mercy and holiness, putting on patience and love above all these things. In the times that Paul was writing, or the time of Jesus, clothing was pretty expensive, and most people didn't have a closet full of stuff to wear. They would usually have one tunic, you know, one main piece of clothes that they would wear every day. And he sort of became known by it. Oh, you see the guy in the brown tunic coming up from a mile away. You know, oh, that's James. You know who it is. Your clothing starts to be associated with your identity, and kids know this, and we, you know, maybe too much sometimes. We start to get caught up in our clothes and how we are thought of. But that's the idea, I think, that Paul is getting at here with identity and clothing. You've been wearing this. You've been known by this clothing for all this time. But it's time to take that clothing off. You've got a new identity. You're a different person. For some of our young people, the last time you were at school, maybe you were not in Christ. You hadn't put on Christ yet. And now you have. I mean, we've had some baptisms here. You're a different person than you were last time you went in there. And so you have to get your heart and your mind ready to represent Christ, to be with Christ, to walk with him and in him. So 1 Peter 1:13 to 14 says to gird up, which is a word we don't use. That's not in any back-to-school checklist, gird up. But the idea is, like, roll up your sleeves, like, tuck in all your robes and everything, and it says gird up for action. Get your minds ready for action, the English Standard says. We're getting ready in our minds and our hearts for what we're about to face. So I brought a backpack. So you got to have a backpack. And I brought some items here. And this is our soccer jersey from when some of us played soccer together in the indoor league. But, you know, you got to put on your jersey. You're a different team now. And so you put on your team's jersey, which is putting on Christ. Okay, so once you got your school clothes on, your mindset is ready, what's next? Well, you want to make sure that you pack your faith. And this is where that word "my faith" is so important. Whenever I put this on, you know, somebody else might help me pack it. Adrian helped me collect the items I brought up here. Your mom and dad might help you with it, but you have to carry it. You walk into school Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning. You walk into the co-op or into soccer practice carrying your own faith. It's yours. We can help prepare you. Your friends are going to encourage you. But when that moment comes where you have to decide how you're going to respond, what you're going to answer, somebody's pushing you to do this or to do that, somebody's asking you a question, you respond. In Galatians 6, in verse 4, it talks about this idea. It actually uses this picture, this word that's used often for a soldier's backpack. And it says, each one must bear his own load. We bear each other's burdens. It's a different word. We've talked about this before. But each of us carries our own load. Like, there's certain things, certain responsibilities that are just ours to carry. Which can sound a little bit lonely and maybe scary. But if we only talk about it that way, we might miss the most important part of what it means to be in Christ, which is Christ, who is with us. See, we carry this, but we never carry it alone. The Lord is with us. And so when the Lord sends us, he doesn't go away. He doesn't sit and say, you go, I'll be right here waiting when you come. He says, you go, and I'll go with you. Remember when Joshua was having to prepare his mind for leading a people without Moses, his mentor? And the Lord said to him, be strong and courageous, for I am with you wherever you go. Joshua 1 and verse 9. I'll be with you. And so we prepare our mindset and we prepare our faith. But there's something that all the older kids and all of us big kids never seem to leave without. One of these, right? I know they don't allow you to have this in all of your classes anymore, right? Which is good. But most of us bring this with us wherever we go, and it's comforting. It's helpful to know. You can always text mom. You can call your friends. You can ask Siri a question. You're always connected. There's a connection that's more important. Our connection to the Lord. And it's not a connection that we have to be in a special place to have. It's not a connection that we have to take a particular posture to enjoy. Our connection with the Lord is constant if we're in Christ. So Paul says it this way in 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18. He says, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. The idea isn't that you never stop saying things to God in your mind or with your mouth. The idea is that the phone is never really disconnected. He's always with you. It's like when Nehemiah was in chapter 2 of Nehemiah was talking to the king. And it got kind of scary because the king saw he was sad, which you're not supposed to be. And the king asked him, what's wrong? And the king said, what do you want? And Nehemiah, in the flow of the book, it says, right before he answered, he said a prayer. Right before you take your algebra quiz. Right before you answer the friend that asks you about the Lord. Right before you respond in anything, as you're walking down the hallway, as you have a moment to yourself sitting outside, you're always ongoingly talking to the Lord. We're not, you know, eyes closed, walking in the hallways of school like this. Please don't do that. Just enjoying fellowship with him that allows us to be before Almighty, Holy God, who can change the things in our day, in our lives at any time. We have access to come boldly before him. So keep talking to him all the time. Once you have your mindset and your faith and your prayers, we're halfway there. We're ready to stand when difficulty comes. Standing is the way that Paul likes to talk about in Ephesians 6, facing the difficulties that come in the world, and as we face Satan and the powers that push us in the wrong direction, we want to stand firm like a soldier that gets pushed back but never retreats, stays ready. But that's not really all that we're sent to do. We're here to serve. We're here to do more. See, go back here. The Lord hasn't just called us to survive the world. He has sent us into the world. The world needs you. The world needs the hope that you have, the strength, the Lord, the message, the life that you have. And so we go with purpose. Whenever I was younger, I was 19, I went to a place I'd never been before, knew nobody, on a continent I'd never been before. And I went to Lithuania as an evangelist. And I just went to stand outside by a bunch of tracks and go and talk to people and work with translators that could help me talk to people. And it was scary. It was hard because nobody spoke English, almost nobody. But I knew why I was there. I wasn't there for fun, and I wasn't there just to make it through that time period. I was there to make a difference. That's why you go to school. You go to learn. You go to enjoy your friends. Academics matter. But you have a higher calling, a higher purpose as a Christian. You're sowing seed that can be reaped in eternity. There is a profoundly wonderful opportunity in a school. You know, when we're younger, it seems like it's sometimes a little easier to hear certain things and to think about big questions. As we get older, man, we just move on and just try to survive sometimes. But when you're younger, do you remember, those of you who are older, you remember asking big questions all the time? Why am I here? What's this all about? Right? Well, whenever our young people go out, they go to serve. So, next thing is to tune in. I love these things. This isn't really a school supply, but I almost never see high school and college students without them. AirPods, right? So here's what I want to suggest. Take one AirPod out. What I want to suggest is open up your perspective. Open up your attention to notice what's going on around you. Think about the people around you. Be curious. Ask questions. As Philippians 2, verse 4 says, be interested in the interests of others. In Mark 10 and verse 21, Jesus loved the rich young ruler, and he looked at him, and he saw him. As he's walking a few verses later through Jericho, blind Bartimaeus is calling out, and everybody says, be quiet, be quiet. And Jesus says, no, what do you have to say? And he walks over to him. James 1:19 says, be quick to hear, to listen. There's somebody who needs a friend, somebody who is lonely, somebody who is discouraged, somebody who is going through a trial. Notice the people around you. Go to serve with your kindness. And when you go, carry with you your gifts. So I got two lunch boxes, one for the younger crowd and one for the older crowd here. Jesus ran into a little boy with his lunchbox with him once in John chapter 6, and all he had was a lunchbox's worth of fish and loaves. But what was Jesus able to do with it? Feed a multitude. And the lesson is that Jesus can do much with little. That Jesus didn't create out of nothing there, even though that's what he did in the beginning. He created ex nihilo out of nothing. But he chose to say, take what that boy has and use it, and I will multiply it, right? Well, what do you have to give? What can you share? The Lord gives so that we can be generous with abundance. The Lord gives gifts and strength and opportunities, 1 Peter 4:10 says, so that we may serve others. So share your stuff. Share your time, your friendship, your notes for the quiz that's coming up that somebody missed class and wasn't able to get. Share what you have, and the Lord can use it. Creates a connection, and it creates an opportunity for an even greater gift to be given. Because ultimately, what we carry that the world needs most is our hope. In Ephesians 6, at the end of the armor of God that Paul describes, he talks about lacing up shoes. Lacing up with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Readiness. Are we ready? Are we ready to speak up the good news? Are we ready to be the presence of good news in the lives of the people around us? You're carrying with you the Lord everywhere you go. You're carrying the gospel. And so Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15, if anybody asks you about the hope within you, be ready to give an answer. Be ready to share. It's not be ready to preach a sermon. What would you answer somebody if they asked you, why do you have hope? Why do you have joy? Why do you have confidence beyond this life? Why do you think that Jesus is going to change everything and already has begun to change everything in you? We bring that hope with us so that we can share it with others. So be courageous. Speak up. Shine your light. And be ready to do that. Paul says, be ready, because it takes a mindset of readiness to, whenever the moment comes, be able to say what you need to say. If you're just drifting, it won't be there. And so we prayerfully prepare ourselves to serve the world and to stand in the face of the pressures of the world everywhere we go. There's a show we liked. Everybody, you ever watch the show Monk? In the beginning, the song says, it's a jungle out there. Well, it is a jungle out there. Jesus says in Matthew 10, as he's sending out his disciples, Matthew 10, verse 16, I send you out as sheep among wolves, but be as innocent as doves and as shrewd as serpents. Be smart, be pure, go to serve, but be wise about it, because it's a jungle out there. It can be challenging. But it's not just a jungle. It's also our mission field. So Jesus says in Matthew 9, a few verses before that, verses 37 and 38, Look out. The fields are white for harvest. They're ready to reap. Pray for workers. Be a worker. We go out to stand strong, but we need to move our mindset from thinking we go to survive to realizing we've been sent. We've been sent to school. We've been sent to work. We've been sent where we go by the risen Lord Jesus. And when he sends us, he says, I'll be with you. And he says, go, as we read in our scripture reading, to make disciples. And lo, I am with you until the end of the age. So preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope. Our minds are ready. We're hopeful. We're girded up. We got our jersey, our backpack, all of our stuff, and we're ready to stand in holiness. Tune in. There we go. Stand strong. Bring your kindness, your gifts, and your hope. Are you ready? We talked about the transformation that we saw Paul have, that we saw Anna have, and Carly, and Sarah over the past year, right? Year? About the past year or so, 6 months or so. Last week or 2 weeks ago, we saw Paul. Are you ready to follow Jesus? We don't just put on Christ once in baptism. We put him on every day. Are you set? Are you packed up for what's next? And it's time to go. It's time to go to the world with a mission of hope. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't put on Christ, we want to invite you to come forward now while we stand and sing.